I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. This week's polar vortex didn't just teach us a new phrase to describe extremely cold weather. It sent temperatures dipping into the single digits and gave us wind chills that made it feel like our coastal region was a frozen tundra of sorts. The cold snap forced many community outreach programs that focus on helping homeless residents in our region to operate on high alert. The three-month community emergency shelter program in Salisbury couldn't have kicked off on a better week this year, as more than 10 churches around the Salisbury region are taking turns offering up beds and meals to homeless residents, particularly men. Organizers of the program tell me there are more than 1,500 homeless people in Salisbury. And this week, I went to the Wesley Temple United Methodist Church to learn about that outreach program firsthand. Monica Vickers is the program's coordinator, and she showed me around the facility. In one room, volunteers were serving hot meals to men, while in other parts of the building, many people were readying their cots for their first night sleeping indoors in some time. Vickers told me that it's not as hard as some people think to let homeless residents know where to come for shelter, because this is the program's ninth year.
So the guys know better than we do when it's supposed to start. Right. And the word gets spread very easily because they know when it's. They know that we run from the first Saturday in January until the last Saturday in March, because historically that's the worst time of the year on the shore. But this is the first time in a very long time that we've had a snap like this. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had snow occasionally and things like that, but we've never had a snap where it was just so cold that we had to not only figure out what we were going to do with them at night, but what are they going to do during the day? Sure. So, you know, it's just a blessing that there's a facility now, because when we first started, there was nothing.
Yeah.
They would go to the library, but, you know, that gets old too. They don't, you know, the library is very generous, but now we've got some place that they can go, have coffee and have lunch. She feeds them there. And the Community Emergency Shelter Project actually started. Salisbury State helps with it, helped originate it, mm-hmm. and the churches that are centered in the city started it. We're actually one of the furthest out.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we shuttle.
Yeah.
Allen Memorial shuttles. They're going to Church of the Nazarene next week, and mm-hmm. they shuttle. So for their convenience, because that it defeats the whole purpose if they starve to death,
sure.
or if they freeze to death after we've done everything else to try to keep them from. Yeah. But the preparation is buying the food and making sure that you have people to man the shelter and keeping the food, you know, help with the food preparation, help with serving and cleaning up. The cots are owned by Community Emergency Shelter Project. We have to make arrangements to go down there and get them and bring them here.
Sure.
Each man has a cot and blankets. And those are his, and they will follow him from shelter to shelter. He'll put it in, all of his stuff together and put his name on it.
Right.
And when they come and pick it up, it'll be his stuff for the next time.
Yeah. Now, are you seeing a lot of new faces this year, or is it a lot of the same people that you've been seeing over the course of the last 9 years?
I've seen a few new faces as far as people that I had never seen, but they're not new to the program because all of the other guys know them.
Right.
But there are a few guys who come every year because they sleep in tents.
Yeah.
You know, they have so when the shelter program is around, that's 3 months when they don't have to sleep in a tent.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
Sure.
But as I said, this is the first time that this weather has been so horrible that we had to actually figure out what we were going to do with them during the day.
Sure. And it raises the stakes too, because, you know, it's not just getting them out of the snow. This is life threatening.
Snow isn't as cold as this.
Right.
It's actually too cold to snow right now, you know. But it's a wonderful ministry, and the men are so grateful, and they're so willing to help with anything that you have things that you want them to do and stuff like that. They'll do it, and they'll do anything you want. They're very well mannered, and they're just great guys. They're just people who just want the same things we want.
Yeah.
They want the same things we want. Some place to keep them warm, three meals a day, dry clothes, and right now they don't have it.
Yeah.
So we really provide just the basics.
Yeah. Right.
We're just here to serve and to make sure that no one freezes to death, give them a meal, and do the best we can to direct them to services. And you really can't make them go to things if they're not ready to.
Yeah.
But you know, you do the best you can.
Yeah.
One of the men here in the Wesley Temple getting that basic help is Eugene. He's a soft-spoken African-American man in his late 50s. And he's been homeless for more than a year. He told me when it gets cold like it's been here in the past few weeks, there's only one thing on his mind.
I said, man, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? You know, that comes first, you know. course, you know, I'm religious too, so God's come first in my life. And it's a mind blower, man. I tell you, when it comes to that point where you just don't know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and who's going to help you.
If it wasn't for ministries like this, do you think that there would be a lot of guys here tonight that wouldn't make it through a cold snap like this?
I wouldn't think they would make it. Yeah, I wouldn't think they would make that.
Talk about the difficulties in not just surviving the winter, mm-hmm. but also just trying to better your situation, trying to get out and, you know, find a job and kind of, you know, because I think many people just think, oh, well, guys should just go out and get a job, but it's not that easy all the time. Talk about that for you.
Yeah, it's not that easy. I've been out there. I've been working through like temp agencies, you know, and you know, sometimes temp agencies you might work 1 month, you might work 6 months, you might work 2 weeks, you might work 1 day, yeah. And you know, and that's how I've been doing it, day by day.
What's your line of work?
Plumbing and heating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about how hard it is to get a job these days in this area.
Oh man, it's, you know, it's a lot of jobs nowadays that you know, people just got those jobs, those type of jobs. They're like retiring. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not trying to leave because it's hard on them too. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's hard on them too. They got to have a job. They got to keep a job. And they're going to stay there as long as they can. So yeah. I understand that. But
what's it like staying here?
It's beautiful, man. It's a blessing, all I can say. I'm thankful.
Yeah. Got a cot and a couple more meals. And
as they say, a cot and a hot. You know,
how's the grub?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Real good, man. Go. Love it.
So now what happens tomorrow morning? Do you go over to Halo or do you go to one of the other churches?
I go to the Joseph House. I go to there and you can sit in there. You can you can take a shower. You can drink your coffee, eat cereal. You can have lunch there. Mm-hmm. Also, I was over there today. They had lunch. We had tomato soup, grilled cheese sandwiches. And that was really nice. And so tomorrow's the same thing. You go there, they open up at 8:30, go over there and eat breakfast, take a shower.
Do guys living out in the woods and on the streets, do they know when this community emergency shelter program kicks off every January and it goes through March? And I guess, are you going to be going from one church to another for the next 3 months?
Oh, yeah, they know. You know, most of the guys know that. Like tonight, a lot of them came in tonight. They knew about it, but I guess they didn't think that cold snap was going to really hit them like that. Now they came in here tonight, but they know, you know, well, they know where to go at.
You know, I've talked to many other folks who have found themselves in situations like yours throughout our region, and they say that the homeless community, sometimes they don't get close with people because they know many of them won't survive the winter. There's 30, 35 guys here tonight. Mm-hmm. They were telling me some numbers, said something like there's 1,500 homeless people in Salisbury. Mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, some of your friends. There are people that you know aren't here tonight and are out there in the cold.
Yeah, I know. There's quite a few of them I know, man. I seen them today. And I'm asking them, I'm saying, you all right? You know, everybody's saying, yeah. I said, how are you surviving in this cold snap like this? And they've been outside in this type of weather, the hot weather, the cold weather. And I haven't been got that deep, you know, out there like that. But some of them just don't want to come in. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, and plus they got their own privacy thing. You know, they don't want nobody to know where their campsites are. That's the way that is.
For you, do you see an end to all of this? Can you picture in your mind getting a new job, getting a new place? And is that what kind of gives you hope, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I go to bed every night, man. I ask God, I said, man, help me, you know, get a job and get through these tough situations I'm going through.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're getting to bed tonight. Get a cotton hot.
Yeah,
all right?
All right.
It's a pleasure meeting you. Best of luck.
Haircut tomorrow, Gene.
Haircut.
Yeah, haircut shave tomorrow.
There you go. But for many of Salisbury's homeless residents, they need a lot more than a cotton hot or even a shave and a haircut if they have any hope of reversing the harsh cycle of homelessness. Here's Monica Vickers again.
This is an area where we've lost so many large employers.
Yeah.
You know, with Crown Cork and Seal and places like that, all of them are gone. And so if you're on the bottom half, you fall right off. And that's what's happened to a lot of our guys.
Yeah.
If you don't have a job and you don't have skills, and some of our guys are plumbers, veterans, people who have had good jobs and good lives, and things just went south, and they find themselves without. And this is just not an area where there's a lot of employment.
Right.
Not that there is anywhere else, but here you've just got more people than you have jobs sometimes. And people talk about there being jobs. Yes, there are jobs. But if you've ever been in trouble, if you've got any issues and stuff like that, it's hard to keep a job, which is part of what you try to work with. That's one of the things that HALO kind of does.
Yeah.
HALO strives to register them and find out what their issues are and help them to understand that sometimes getting a job and getting an apartment is not really all you need to do.
Right.
We need to work on how you're going to keep those things when you get them, because there are a lot of other issues. Homelessness is just not something that you can just check off your list like that. There are a lot of issues that come with that,
right,
that keep people from keeping a job once you get it for them, or keeping an apartment once you get it for them, and hopefully they'll avail themselves of the services that'll keep them employed and help to keep them living someplace. So, it's not like, you don't have any shoes, so you go buy a pair of shoes. Well, yeah, that's that. But as far as homelessness is concerned, it's about helping them keep and maintain.
It's not just housing and employment. Sometimes it's dealing with mental problems or addictions.
If you're not mentally ill before you become homeless, homelessness can certainly make you mentally ill,
yeah,
because it's horrible.
Pat Marvel was with HOPE, or Homeless Outreach Point of Entry. Pat helps these guys get IDs and birth certificates, and in some cases, he goes into the woods and tries to encourage some of the homeless people living outdoors to come in and get shelter or help.
It's hard to get them to do it. They're very suspicious. You have to be around them for a while for them to realize that you're trying to help and you're not the bad guy. And once you get that rapport with them, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier.
That's Pat. That's Pat's part. Because he's a man. He goes where they go. He knows how to find them. If it's like, Pat, I haven't seen such and such. Oh, I saw him last week. He's okay. Because Pat, he's a man, and that's a part he does. And he goes places where I wouldn't dare go.
Yeah.
Because he can keep up with them and find out when they're ill and try direct them. And if he really just thinks you need it, sometimes he'll put you in the car and take you to where you need to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's another piece.
Yeah.
I just left some of the camps now before I came over here checking on the guys.
Are there people still out there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's
some that will never come in. Never.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just habituated. And they can't stand to be closed in. And there's clashes of personalities,
mm-hmm,
and all those kind of things. I mean, it's the same as normal situations, just kind of intensified.
Mm-hmm. Is it all about establishing relationships to get them the help that they need?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you do need to establish that relationship. They, they're untrusting.
Yeah.
They're afraid. They only have so much,
yeah,
and they don't want to lose it. And I've had lots of people say, oh, I would like to go out to the camps. Well, why do you want to go to the camps? Just to see how they live, or do you want to help them? But I don't take anybody out to camps at all, because you wouldn't want some stranger walking into your living room,
mm-hmm,
and that's basically what it would be doing.
Yeah. I've been welcomed into camps,
mm-hmm,
and people's personal sites in the woods,
mm-hmm,
over the years in Worcester County,
mm-hmm,
and that's what I found was it's very much, you're going into their world, you want them to trust you,
right,
and let them tell their story, because
absolutely,
everyone's got a story to tell.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's basically it. There's, anything else is just really just saying that we just do it.
Yeah.
And it's faith-based. And the good thing about faith-based is that people are doing it for all the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the money. We don't have grants. We don't have this, that, and the other. We get our congregations together,
mm-hmm,
and the congregation says, yes, this is something we want to do, and we're going to continue to do it. We've been doing it 8 of the 9 years. There's some people that have been doing it for 9 years. We need more churches.
Yeah.
Because we try to do it from January through March, because those are historically the best times. But there are times when it's cold in December and November, but we can't do it because we've already maxed out our resources as far as churches are concerned.
Yeah.
And if people need us to come out and talk to them and show them how doable it is. We take our show on the road. You know, we'll come to your church and talk to you and let you see how easy it is to do. That we have one set up where there's two churches right there together. They actually eat in one church and sleep in the other.
There you go.
You know, and the two small congregations that just happen to be able to put it together. I just want people to know that it's doable.
Yeah.
It is. It's not huge. You just have to have the heart for it. Well, if you don't have the heart for it, you do more damage than good.
Mm-hmm.
But helping someone is what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Going and making disciples for God, going and helping everyone that needs it is what we do.
Yeah.
We love on them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We show them the love
absolutely.
That nobody's ever given them, that they haven't felt in a long time, and it takes even amount of time for them to accept that love from
sure.
you because they've not come to trust.
Mm-hmm. As part of not only this ministry, but also the outreach of it, you know, you realize that you have to not only establish a relationship, but give them that love.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, it's their choice, and they have to choose to want to be helped by you. You can only offer it. You can't make them take it.
And it'll break your heart.
Yeah.
It'll break your heart.
And talk about
careful.
What that feels like if you know, you try and put it out there and it's denied.
Well, it's hard. It really is hard. You know, there's lots of cases where, you know, the guys that stay out in the tents that won't come in, you want to help them. You can give them little things like blankets and propanes and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, that was said that you can't force them to take this stuff.
Well, you just look at it this way. Most of the, as many people as there are who are actually homeless, there's never more than about 35 or 40 actually in the churches.
Yeah.
At one time. Like, I've got 30, maybe a couple over 30 here tonight. But at most, some of the churches may have 40 people, and that's a whole bunch that aren't.
Yeah, that's just a drop
in
the bucket of
that
1,500.
Usually
number.
During the course of the season, when all the churches are functioning, we usually had the most out is 65.
Wow. 65 different individuals.
Different individuals.
Yes.
And of course, you know, the face of homelessness here in Salisbury is not just men, it's also women and children. I know
right.
many are at Halo this mm-hmm. evening or some of the other shelters. Just how many families are out there?
Because they're the people that don't know they're homeless. If you and your kids are sleeping on somebody's couch and you really don't have anything in your name and it's not your place, you're technically homeless.
Yeah.
There are people who have a place to sleep during the night, but the family doesn't necessarily want them to be there during the day when nobody's home.
Yep, so they have to leave the premises.
So they have to leave, yep. Right, because of whatever the reasons are, they don't think they're homeless, but they are.
That was Monica Vickers, the coordinator for the Community Emergency Shelter Program at the Wesley Temple United Methodist Church in Salisbury, and Pat Marvel with the nonprofit HOPE. To learn how you can help homeless folks in our region, click to our website, wamucoast.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo, and we'll be right back.
Gonna get the best of me.